And good morning and welcome back to LaPorte Church of Christ. It is October 12th, 2025. Hope you enjoyed that message, that timeless message by Richard Hoskins. I thought it was a good one, a little bit different, but we've got variety around here. And before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. We pray that as we assemble together here in person and those that gather with us through DVD church and through the internet, Lord, we pray that we can be pleasing in your sight, be found putting away the cares of the world right now, focusing on you and you, your kingdom. Lord, we're grateful that we can call you our God and that we are your people. Lord, we thank you for the truths that you've preserved for us to be taught years later. We thank you for the teachers that we've had. Lord, we pray that we can just continue to open our minds to the truth that you'd have us to learn. We pray, Father, for you just to continue to waken your people up across this land to who their enemies are and who they are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning. Got two calls just before I came up here, and then I got an email. But I wanted to, Sandra, she called, and she's in a hospital in, I think it's Ohio. I'm not exactly sure. But she's trying to get out of the hospital, and they're wanting to keep her, and she's wanting to get out. And she asked if we would pray for her this morning, and I told her that we would. And then Kyle and Aaron, they lost a baby this morning, and Rick wrote in and asked if we would pray for them this morning. And so I want to do that. So let's lift up Sandra and Kyle and Aaron. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we lift up Sandra to you, and she wants to get out of that hospital real bad. I could hear it in her voice. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for you to open those doors that need to be opened and do the work that needs to be done. I don't know the situation, but I just petition the situation up before you and ask that you do what needs to be done. I pray that the Holy Spirit intercedes and brings that perfect prayer before your throne. I know that she's troubled in her, I could hear the troublesome in her voice. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you grant her that peace that passes understanding, that you comfort her, that you strengthen her, that you give her a sound mind. I pray that you just do the work that needs to be done. I lift up Kyle and Aaron in this time of loss of a child. Lord, I lift them up to you, and I just ask that you grant them that peace that passes understanding, that you strengthen them, that you be with them, and that you be there as the comforter that they need right now. I pray, Father, that they be found drawing closer to you and putting their trust in you. Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we just pray, Father, for them to have the protection that they need and just tend to their every need right now. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to start off this morning with a song, and this one is Blessings by the Number.
Blessings number two was when you came alive again. You came back but never meant to stay. Now I've got blessings by the numbers, treasures by the score. Every day you're blessing me, each day I love you more. Yes, I've got blessings by the numbers, a love that makes me win, and And the day that I stop counting, that's the day my world will end. Coming back to stay. With hopeful hearts I waited for your knock on the door. I've waited and you haven't lost your way. Now I've got blessings by the numbers, treasures by the score. Every day you're blessing me, each day I love you more. Yes, I've got blessings by the numbers, a love that makes me win. And the day that I stop counting, that's the day my world will end. Now I've got blessings by the numbers, treasures by the score. Every day you're blessing me, each day I love you more. Yes, I've got blessings by the numbers, a love that makes me win. And the day that I stop counting, that's the day my world will end.
Slide real quick. And we're back. Apologize for that. Justice is trying to learn everything back there, and there is a lot of knobs and there's a lot of buttons to push, and he's trying real hard, and he'll get it figured out. He's doing a real good job. As a way of announcements, we did get the Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 9, printed, mailed, and shipped to you. So appreciate those people that are on that list and do receive that. We were able to get it shipped on Wednesday. And so keep your eyes out for that. We did get the part of the online version sent out and decided just to do things a little bit different and I split the online newsletter up into two parts, and I'm going to send them out separately just because of time and resources. Was in a hurry, wanted to get it out. But a couple things that that wanted to talk about. One was the prayer meeting again, and I know that I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I know that everybody doesn't see these broadcasts every week. We've been doing the Wednesday night prayer meeting and really trying to push the online presence as far as getting people to pray for the needs of the saints. And did add those into the church bulletin today. And if you receive that, do appreciate people that, you know, take the time to pray for those people that are in need. We're getting more and more prayer requests all the time. Do appreciate that. Do appreciate the people that are taking that and sharing it with others also. Had several people this week that have contacted me and said that they were doing that, that they had a group of prayer warriors that they were sharing that with as well. So really do appreciate that. Remember that Wednesday night prayer meeting, it is there. That's a program for you folks out there. And, you know, even if you don't have a prayer need or a, you know, a praise report and don't want to call in, do appreciate people that gather around the radio or the computer screen or however you listen to us, just joining us with prayer. I do believe that even those people that are out there, that when they pray with us, that it just multiplies our prayer power when we come in agreement to our Heavenly Father. But it's a Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Mountain Time on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. So don't forget to check that out. I want to talk a little bit about one of the articles, or read part of the article that was in this Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine. And I think I think that these articles that we've been putting out are very timely, especially with the things that are going on in the world. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, waking up to knowing who the enemy is, but also knowing our heritage. And that's exciting for me to see is when, you know, you got these people that are waking up. So I wanted to read some of Know Your Heritage. This is on Martin Luther and the Jews, and I think it's timely. For the Christian world, Martin Luther's rebellion against the Catholic Church was a spark that ignited a prairie fire of religious freedom across Europe. He spearheaded the Reformation movement, which rebelled against the state-sponsored church oppression and anti-Christ teachings. As the movement grew, much of Europe embraced the doctrines taught by Luther. Luther taught that man had the ability to speak directly to God. He also taught the absoluteness of Holy Scriptures. He railed against the corruptions of the Catholic Church and their heretical teachings. Luther is widely credited for being the father of the Protestant. His morale, courage, and conviction to stand up against corrupt religious leaders in the 16th century has been written about in scores of books and major motion pictures, and have been made about his life. In the year 2000, the magazine Life ranked Martin Luther third out of 100 of the most important men in the millennium. Thomas Edison, 1847 to 1931, and Christopher Columbus, 1451 through 1506, placed first and second. The same magazine heralded Luther's nailing of his 95 thesis complaints against the Catholic Church as the third most important event of the millennium, with Gutenberg's invention of movable type, the act that gave people the Bible, and Columbus landing in the Americas, coming in as a second and first. He was the great reformer, and his impact on Christendom and the world is certainly without match. But have we been told everything about Martin Luther's beliefs and teachings? Martin Luther knew the enemy. In 1536, Martin Luther traveled to Bohemia and Moravia, a German Czech region of what is now the Republic of Czechoslovakia. While there, Luther met with three Jewish rabbis. In the meeting, he attempted to find common ground with the Jews. Luther presented the truth of Jesus Christ to the Jewish leaders using the Old Testament. His hope was to convert the Jews. The Jews, in turn, presented the Talmud to Luther. In their meeting, the rabbis would not acknowledge or mention Jesus. Martin Luther left the meeting with the Jews and began on a journey to study the Talmud. The results left Luther shocked and disgusted. What began as a mission of mercy to save the Jews transitioned into a campaign to drive the Jews from Germany and all Christendom. Not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth, Titus 1:14. Martin Luther studied the Babylonian Talmud and concluded the Jews were working in concert with the Catholic Church to keep Europeans from knowing Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures. He saw for the first time the Jewish Antichrist works and the moral filth they spread. Luther successfully campaigned against the Jews in Saxony, Brandenburg, and Silesia, in August 1536. Luther's Prince Elector of Saxony, John Frederick, issued a mandate that prohibited Jews from inhabiting, engaging in business in or passing through his realm. In 1543, Martin Luther authored a short book titled The Jews and Their Lies. This pamphlet is one of the most suppressed books ever to be printed. Possession of this book in Germany is a crime today. Many mainstream historians have pointed to Luther's pamphlet as shaping the Germans' view in the 400 years between the Church's Reformation and the rise of the Nazi Party. We know Martin Luther's tract was passed out during the Nazi Party rallies and was widely read by the average German citizen in Weimar, Germany, prior to Hitler's election as chancellor. In The Jews and Their Lies, Martin Luther asked the question, what shall we Christians do with this rejected and condemned people, the Jews? His answer was this. First, to set fire to their synagogues or schools. This is to be done in honor of our Lord of Christendom, so that God might see that we are Christians. Second, I advise that their houses also be razed and destroyed. Third, I advise that all their prayer books and Talmudic writings in which such idolatry lies, cursing and blaspheming are taught to be taken from them. Fourth, I advise that their rabbis be forbidden to teach, henceforth on pain of loss of life and limb. Fifth, I advise that the safe conduct of the highways be abolished completely for the Jews, for they have no business in the countryside. Sixth, I advise that usury be prohibited to them, and that all cash and treasures of silver and gold be taken from them. Seventh, I recommend putting a flail, an axe, a hoe, a spade, a distaff, or a spindle into the hands of young, strong Jews and Jewesses, and letting them earn their bread in the sweat of their brow. But if we are afraid that they might harm us or our wives, children, servants, cattle, etc., then let us emulate the common sense of other nations such as France, Spain, Bohemia, etc., then reject them forever from this country. I'd say that was pretty plain talk from the father of the Protestant Church. John 8:44 through 47 reads, quote, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was the murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whether he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I say the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." The modern media and the Judeo-Christian church would have us believe that speaking out against the Jews is somehow new. We know that is not the case. As the followers of Christ, we know that our Savior did not mince words when addressing the Jews of his time. Likewise, when Martin Luther broke away from the Catholic Church's teachings and saw the Jew for what they are, he had no choice but to follow the example of our King. Martin Luther was unafraid, for he knew Christ was on his side. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" What are we to do? First and foremost, we need to know our history and our heritage. Don't let mainstream control your minds and your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We are destroying arguments and arrogance raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Our King Jesus told us the Jews are liars, and they serve their father the devil, who is the chief of all liars. Therefore, we have to dig in our heels and search for our real history. Our roots are Christian, much like Martin Luther. You may be surprised at what you find. And I really enjoyed that article. And I think that there's so much truth. And that's what I have been noticing, is that people are out there, they're searching for the truth. They're realizing that they've been lied to and they're waking up. This Charlie Kirk assassination is, you know, as tragic as it is, I've seen so many people that are waking up and, you know, figuring out who the Jews are, and figuring out that, you know, we've got enemies and they're active here in the United States. And I'm not going to go in there. We could run down that rabbit trail for hours and hours, but I gotta move on. Looking at the clock, we've got me and Zach recorded a message yesterday, and Zach starts off in Acts 10, I believe it was verse 34, and really good message. We're going to continue on going through Acts, and then I did tell him again yesterday that you know, we want to finish up going through Acts, and then let's go through Hebrews. So that's kind of the plan. Do appreciate all the time and effort that Zach's been putting into it. He's a busy guy, but he's been working around my schedule, and I've been working around his schedule, and it's been busy, and I'm thankful for him and for all that he does. So we'll have that justice coming up right about now.
And greeting to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today is day, October 12th, 2025. We here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you joined us. We're going to begin by defining who and what Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. I want to stop and go back up to verse 4. And it says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. What that means when I read that, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, was the Word gives life. The Word also gives death. If you do not obey the Word, you will receive death. If you do not obey the Word, those that are behind you or that are coming up behind you, because of the training that you give them, because of the lack of the Word, then they will have a more difficult time in life. And then their chances of death are greater than that of life, which is the light, which is the Word. Nothing happens and nothing takes place without the Word. We are to, excuse me, we are to study the Word, apply its rules and principles and statutes in our lives, teach our children and their children, in our communities, in our neighbors, the Word as accurately as we can. Because there is life in the Word. If we do not have the Word, the end result is death. Death. And that's what we do here at Scriptures for America. We try to study our Word the best that we can. Now, we here don't have everything figured out exactly. As you know, I always keep in the back of my mind, my opinion and my thought process might be wrong on any topic, except for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. That ladies and gentlemen, cannot change in my mind. That is the beginning of life, as it says here in John chapter 1. That you cannot change my mind. You cannot change my mind on baptism, because that's in the Word. You cannot change my mind that Jesus Christ was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to release those 10 northern tribes from the marital laws. You cannot convince me otherwise, because that is what the Word is. But on most every other topic outside of the Word, I am subject to change. A few things, my point of view on how I define the Word in my mind, that can be adjusted. It would take a very highly intelligent person, and it would take a very faithful person to convince me otherwise. But I promise you, I will always listen. I will always consider what people say, and I will never reject it, because I might be wrong. Now, there's certain things that are just wrong, so don't get me wrong. I'm open to be swayed on just every little thing. It's not what I'm saying. And I hope you guys are out there are like that too. Because when you sit there and you see everybody in this world, they're always fighting, and they're always trying to convince other people that their train of thought is correct. Meanwhile, they never think that themselves, that they might be wrong. All you have is a bunch of offended people that are in defense and offense and never actually really worried about the Word. And you just end up with a big mess. And really what it boils down to, people have a lack of communication skills. You know, I think about my younger days, and I just think about how people, my mentors, they communicated, a lot of my mentors communicated with hammers, verbal hammers. You didn't really have a chance to say what you thought, because you were just wrong, and you're an idiot, and you're, other stuff. Because you're just a little punk, you didn't know anything. But I would say that to those people, that they have a difficult time listening and communicating properly and making mental adjustments. But what we are trying to do here is communicate the Word of God so that way it is understandable to all. That way they can apply the principles in their lives, know their place where they are, as far as if they're an Israelite, a non-Israelite. If you're a Jew, Edomite, I don't really have any use for you. Because that's just the way the cards were dealt, and I didn't make the rules, so the way it is. I'm not going to apologize. I didn't make the rules. God did. But that being said, last time I was with you a couple weeks ago, we stopped in Acts chapter 10, and we stopped in verse 34. I would like to begin by reading in verse 34. Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." Now, if you read that in every nation, you could argue that's every tribe, every race. You could argue that, and it's true, because, you know, I've read before the laws about the foreigner in the assembly. If they comply with God's politics, they are allowed to be the assembly. That's Old Testament law. You know, you read the story about when Jericho went down. That was a non-Israelite hooker that basically gave Israel the advantage to win. And her life was spared. And it ended up that her family ended up getting folded into the House of Israel. Well, the nation of Israel. I believe it says that their kin, her kin's there, is in there to this day. And you say, why are you bringing all this stuff up? Because, you know, in Isaiah it says, as a foreigner who obeys my Sabbath, don't let them think that there is no inheritance for me. And I'm butchering, I'm paraphrasing that. You know, if there's somebody that's humble to God, and if there's somebody that's willing to submit to his rules, God will actually put him in a higher place than an Israelite. The way I see it, Israel has got a rebellion problem. They want to think, they don't want to take accountability for their actions. In fact, they're so far up, most of them don't even know who they are. They walk around with Bibles, but they don't know who they are. But Israel's job is to be the servant, the wife of the great I am. The word, to spread that word across the globe. And as it says right there, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Does that say only Israel? Yes. In Acts 2, it says the promise is for you. Basically, Israel was given back their job to be God's people, to be God's example of how to live in order to receive blessings. That's their job. That's their commission. That's my commission. That's your commission. You are the bride of Christ. I am the bride of Christ. I am the seed of Abraham, and most of you out there are as well. We do no good if we do not set ourselves an example and claim who we are and live under God's rules and let our husband do the work that he's designed to do if we don't obey him. So we render the word ineffective or a curse to not only ourselves, but to the world because of the disobedience. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys out there. In my mind's eye, it makes sense. Now, if you're Satan's seed, a man of instinct, I have no use for you. I hate you. You are Satan's seed. You are the hidden reef in the love bed. You're the one that's in there that's introducing false doctrine that we're always fighting. You are an enemy. You are not loved. You are not wanted. You screw everything up. That's it. You're probably white, too. Verse 36. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Christ, which he is the Lord of all. So, see what he says right there? Everything, like I said, I didn't even practice reading this stuff when I came here. Who did he send the word to? Israel. He sent it to who? Israel. That's Israel as a whole. What is Israel supposed to do? Preach peace through Jesus Christ, which is the Lord of all. Well, what is Jesus Christ? The Word, His law, His statutes. 37. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which God proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about being about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39. We are witnesses of all things which we are witnesses of all things he did in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem. But also he put, my eyes are moving faster than my mouth is running. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God rose him up on the third day and granted that he become visible. Not to all the people, but to the witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to this people and solemnly testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. I'm going to stop right there. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. How do you believe in him? By knowing the word? Understanding that the Bible is a political book. Understanding that the Bible is completely opposed to the Babylonian system. It too is a one world government. It is a one government for the entire world. It's the Bible. It's the Word. He's the one that created Israel. He's the one that created all the other races. He's the one that set up the new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah and brought them back together under one king. As an example, now, God's saying and has said, I'm going to wrap all this up because we did get an email about the Gentiles also being Israelites, which they mostly are, because Jesus does say, my sheep know me and they hear my voice and they follow me. Now, you can't say that about a Jew. A Jew will be, no, he wasn't the son of God. I heard that, who's that one Jew, that conservative Jew? For some reason, like, he's always like the debater. He's like the Jew debater of the Charlie Kirk, but he's a Jew. What is his name? I forgot it. Ben Shapiro. I heard him talking about Jesus. Yeah, we don't even believe he was a prophet. The guy's a scumbag. I got no use for a guy like that. But all of those who believe in him receive the forgiveness of sins. If you believe, let's just say you're a non-Israelite, if you believe that Jesus Christ is king and you apply his laws and statutes in your life, will you not prosper? Will you not believe? How is that non-Israelite going to know the word? It's because guys like us are projecting it out into the world to help them. Now, there are those, Satan's seed, Jews, that do not prosper when the law of God is held up. Those are the ones of Deuteronomy 28 that don't want God's people to be projecting God's word. So that way, not only can Israel prosper and be the head of the tail, but everybody prospers. The way it is right now, only a few prosper and everybody feeds them. So there are those that feed off the sin of Israel and the sin, well, maybe even the world, because they profit off it. That's how they get their energy. It is very important to introduce the proper Jesus to everybody, even Satan's seed, because then they know they're gone. The reason why things are the way they are is because Israel is just simply being rebellious and not doing her job. There's nothing more miserable than a wife that doesn't do or back up the mission of the husband. See, people got things so screwed up, like, oh, you know, like, the wife is added to what the husband's doing. That's just the way it is. Like, I'm doing, like, me at my house. I do what I do. I go out, I cut trees, I bid jobs, I sell work, I market. I go out there, I'm savage. I cut other companies' throats when I have to. I mean, you might think that might sound mean, but it is what it is. None of that, my wife is responsible for none of that. And if she's good and she's nice and she just does what I say, I mean, I'm not a jerk, and everything goes just fine. But if I've seen this where guys are always trying to please their wives and doing what they want to do, it just, the wife isn't happy because he's out of, it's an unnatural position to be in. Chicks don't want to worry about anything. They really don't. They say, okay, do this, all right, end result's this. I mean, if we as, this is the way we're supposed to be towards God. So, like, if we're disobedient, then it literally takes all the power away from the setup. It ruins everybody's day, and it's ineffective. It ruins God's day. It ruins the wife's day. Just like if the husband's got to be worrying about what the wife is doing, what she thinks, and this and that, it just ruins everybody's day. I mean, like I said, I do what I do. The people, do I really benefit from what I do? Just think about it. Does God really benefit from what he does? Just think about it. I mean, it's kind of a weird question. If God's a husband and his wife is not paying attention, not being obedient, always breaking the rules, which is what that does, it makes Jesus pay. It's called being over budget. All right, think about it that way. Dudes can relate to that. Being over budget. So if you screw up, you're disobedient, that makes Jesus pay more. Jesus don't like to pay more. He already paid once. Probably paid two and three and four times. How many times are we going to make them pay? The disobedience makes him pay, which makes him ineffective, and he can't be the blesser that he wants to be because he's too busy dealing with a disobedient bride. In the same way, if here on earth, if a man's dealing with a disobedient, pain-in-the-ass bride, then he can't be effective and he can't be the man that he's called to be. It's just, and I'm sorry for the language, but that's exactly what it is. Just be obedient. Now, men, some of you are hard to follow. Some of you wouldn't be worth following across the mud puddle. Yeah, you keep that in mind, too. Now, you might be thinking, oh, yeah, he's getting after the women and the disobedience. Well, if you're a loser, who wants to follow a loser? So if somebody's willing to be obedient to Christ, who am I to say I'm not going to accept him unless he's Satan's seed? Which that's just not in his nature because they're like cobras that stuff up their ears and there's no reasoning with them. So who cares what they think? So don't go feeling all sorry for a snake. I'm not saying to feel sorry for him and accept. I'm not saying because a snake's a snake. Like the old story about the frog that got the scorpion across the river, and then the scorpion turned around and stung him. He's like, why'd you do that? I saved your life. He's like, I'm a scorpion. Point is, Israel, do what you're supposed to do. Know your job and stay in your lane, and then let God handle the rest. Let him be effective. If you always got to look back and being disgusted because of his miserable, disobedient bride, which we can read about it in the Old Testament, then everybody suffers. And who wins? Satan's seed. And we don't want that. Let me continue. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of those who were listening to the message. All, now here, listen. Listen to this. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, I do still believe that most of these Gentiles are Israelites for the most part. The only reason why I went off on the other nations is because where it says in verse 35, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. So the thing is, nation, when you look at the Strongs, is a race of people. That's what that word means, the way it's used in verse 35. Now, everything God did Israel, the new covenant, with the house of Judah and the house of Judah buying Israel back, what Paul says in Romans about the husband that dies and releases the wife, all that is still 100% true and effective. This book is written for Israel. But if you attach yourself to her and to that assembly, know your place. Let me read verse 45 again. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can we? 48, and he ordered them baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked them to stay a few more days. So the Judeo-Christian church, they see the circumcised. They were Jews. Those are God's people. And they think that they'll have you thinking that only the Jews are God's chosen people then and today. And they screw up the definition of that word. So the circumcised with them were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had fallen on the Gentiles. Why would they be amazed? First of all, if you're circumcised in that day and age, you probably have the scriptures available to you. You probably know a little bit more about the Holy Testament, the Old Testament than most of these Gentiles do at that time. Most of them, I believe, were Israelites. Not all of them. But if you have Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. And I'm going to begin by reading verse 12. And this is the covenant of circumcision. This is the covenant that God Abraham, where he would be a multitude of nations through Isaac. Verse 12. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generation. A servant who is in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. Did you hear what it said right there? So a foreigner who is bought with money is not of your descendants. What does that mean? A different race. A servant who is born in your house, who is bought with your money, shall surely be circumcised. Thus my covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. There's a catch 22 there. Nobody around Abraham's tent or territory is not to be aside. And you can see the exception to the rule right there, a foreigner that is bought with money, an outsider that somehow ended up in his clan, in his family, however you want to look at, they will be circumcised as well. You're going to be around God's people, you follow God's rules. Because as it says in there, and it confirms, my covenant be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. It's in Abraham's flesh. But if you're going to be around Abraham's people, you will be circumcised. But, verse 14, an uncircumcised male who is circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. That is why those people said, leave, that the Holy Spirit has fallen on them. They were right to question what was going on, because it proves to me that they knew the word of God by their amazement of what God was doing. So if you're going to be in God's house, follow his rules, know who you are, know who God's people are, and if you're God's people, walk the line, be a good example. Stay in your lane, know who's who. And with that, I'm out. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. And as we prepare for communion, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to drink of this covenant, to drink the blood, to eat of the body. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the price of us, freedom of our sins. As we partake today, we pray that you shine your face down upon us, Father, and that we may be found pleasing in your sight. We pray for that you forgive us of our sins, that you forgive us of our trespasses, that you heal us of our diseases, our sicknesses. We claim the truth that by the stripes laid on the back of Jesus Christ that we are healed, and we claim that healing, and we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for the blood that was shed, that was broken, so that we may have life. We thank you for these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. You may partake. And stay tuned, folks. We got a message by Mr. Hoskins entitled The Economy coming up right after this song.